Good evening.
Good evening.
It is good to see everyone that is able to be out this evening, those who aren't able to be out, that are able to be out this evening. It's always good that we get to have the opportunity to come together and to sing songs of praise to God. And we need to always look forward to opportunities to do such. And it helps us in our faith. And it helps us encourage one another, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, that we are able to stimulate one another to love and good deeds by assembling with one another. This evening I want to talk about some things that you'll never regret. I'm sure that most people in the audience are like me. You can look back over your past and you can probably just off the top of your head think of a number of things that you regret, things that you wish you hadn't done, ways that you wish you hadn't acted, things that you wish you hadn't said, things of that nature. We can all look back and think about these things. But it's nice to look back and to think, well, or to do something and think, well, I'll never have to regret having done that. And so this evening I want to take just a few moments of our time and look at some things that you'll never regret. The first thing I want to note is that you'll never regret showing respect to the elderly. Now, this is something that is just lost, it seems, on the world today. They really have no respect whatsoever for the elderly. But when you go back to the book of Leviticus and look there in Leviticus 19 and verse 32, we read the words of Moses. He says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." The world, it seems, has lost respect for the aged. It used to be that you would hear a yes ma'am and no ma'am and a yes sir and a no sir, but in my own lifetime, I can't tell you how many times I've said yes ma'am to an older lady or yes sir to an older gentleman. They're like, "Oh, don't say yes ma'am or no sir or yes sir to me." They look at me like I'm trying to make them feel older than they truly are. And they fail to see that it is a term of respect. It's showing respect for those that are your elders. I say yes ma'am and no ma'am to my sister on occasion, especially when I give her, when I want to give her a little bit of a hard time because she's, you know, older than I am, and I like to remind her of that. But you know, it's showing respect for those that are older. You don't hear Mr. or Mrs. anymore, do you? It's everybody's just on a first name basis, and it seems that we've become a little too familiar. To the point to where now it's not President Obama, it's O, and it wasn't President Bush, it was W. And we've lost the respect for the elderly. We've lost the respect for those that are in authority. And one thing that you'll never have to regret is showing respect for the elderly. We tend to think that the older generation has lost touch with the modern world. It's kind of like in the days of Rehoboam when he turned to his father's advisors and said, "What should I do?" And they said, "Lighten the load." And he's like, "Well, I don't want to do that." And so he turned to his friends and they said, "Oh, they'll love you just like they did your dad if you make their tax burden even heavier." He listened to the younger generation. And the destruction of Israel came about as a result of that. You see, we fail to remember that wisdom is with the aged men. With long life, as understanding is what we read there in the book of Job. We look at them, we think, well, they're just out of touch with reality. They don't understand the world that we're living in. We need to understand the world hasn't changed that much. Yes, things are dressed up in a little different clothing, but the same attitudes apply, the same common sense applies in every situation. And we need to understand that there is wisdom that comes with age. I'm thankful to have reached an age where I'm starting to see just a tiny little bit of this wisdom, and I'm looking forward to several more years where that wisdom will begin to multiply and things of that nature. But we need to learn to show respect for the elderly. When we look at respect for parents, it's almost non-existent. You walk around any store or the mall and you'll see kids just smarting off to their parents, and their parents will say, "Don't do that," and go, "I'll do whatever I want. You can't stop me." There's a lack of respect for those that are in authority. Think for just a moment how much better your life would be, perhaps how much further along you might would be if you would have listened to your parents. If I'd have listened to the things that my mother and father told me and actually put them into practice, how different life would be in certain respects, how much further along I might would be. And we would do well to heed the wisdom of Solomon as he records in Proverbs there in chapter 23 and verse 22 when he says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." We need to show respect towards the elders, especially when it comes to our parents, because our children are watching. And how we treat our parents is the lesson they're learning in how to treat us. My mother-in-law has set a wonderful standard in the kind of treatment that I think she deserves. My mother and father have set the same standard. And I hope that I will continue to set that standard for my children. So one thing that you'll never regret is showing respect for the elderly. Another thing you'll never regret is destroying a letter, or in the modern parlay, email, written in anger. How many times has someone just gotten angry and they just dashed off a letter, they put a stamp on it, threw it in the mail, and then about the time the postman shows up, they're already regretting the words that they had used. And in the modern world, it's even easier. You don't have to put a stamp on it. You don't have to walk to the mailbox. You really don't have any time to think about it. You just hit send, and it's gone. And it can't be taken back unless you use things like Gmail and other things where they're starting to have this thing where they'll hold it and you can withdraw it a little bit on certain email programs because the people regret the things that they have sent. In Proverbs chapter 15, there in verse 18, we read, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute." It's easy to get all angry over things that happen, over the way that we're treated, over the things that happen to us. And it's real easy to just go and to just blow up and to let it all flow out, whether it be in a letter, in an email, or even a phone call. But one thing we need to understand is that once it's sent, there is no taking it back. Once that letter is gone out of your hands, once that email has left your computer, once that post has been made to Facebook, it's there for the rest of time. Those words, you can delete that comment, but it's still there somewhere, floating around. And so we need to think about these things, and we would do well to heed Paul's instructions that he gave to the Christians there in Ephesus when he said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." One of the best things I've ever read or heard in this matter is when you write an angry letter, hold on to it overnight. Just let it sit there, whether it be an angry email. You let it sit there in your outbox and you wait. You don't send it. You leave it in the drafts and then you go to sleep. And then you get up in the morning and you sit down and you reread it. Same thing applies for a letter. When you're angry at someone, you write out that angry letter. You leave it sitting there on your desk and then you go back and you look at it when you've had a nice night's sleep and you've calmed down. And it's amazing how many times you'll see that you're not near as angry as you thought you were, and it wasn't as big a deal as you thought it was, and how the tone of that letter can change. As we see further there in verse 31 of that same chapter, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." We need to think of these words when we're dashing out that angry email, or we're making that angry comment, or we're sending out that angry text message. We need to think about this and make sure that we keep our calm. You'll never regret having destroyed that letter or email that you wrote in anger. You'll also never regret offering the apology that saves a friendship. How many times have friends gotten into a fight, something happened, and they got angry, and each of them is sitting there waiting for the other one to apologize? And yes, I'll welcome him or her back as soon as he or she apologizes. I don't think you'll ever regret being the one that goes and begins the journey to repair that friendship. When we look at this, we can see in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Just being willing to be the person, be the bigger person to say, "I'm sorry for the things that have happened. I apologize for the way that things turned out." You see, Jesus tells us exactly what we need to be doing to make things right. He explains that you aren't to let things go, that you're to make things right while you have the opportunity to make these things right. In Matthew chapter 5, there in verse 23, Jesus says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. We need to make sure that we are doing all that we can. Jesus puts the burden upon us. He tells us that we need to go and make whatever it is right. The Apostle Paul goes along with that. He says in Romans 12 and verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now I take it from that, that means that I need to be the one that begins the steps to repair the friendship. I am the one who needs to be to begin to say, I'm sorry, can we work this out? Can we make whatever is wrong right? We need to be that kind of a person. And you will never regret working to repair that friendship. You know, you'll also never regret stopping a scandal that could wreck a reputation. I'm sure that you've all been witness to this. Someone begins something that perhaps you're not so sure is true. And you think, well, I ought to say something. And then you don't. And then someone's reputation is ruined. That offhanded comment, that off-color remark just destroys someone. Gossip is worse now than ever before. It used to be slowed down just because, as it's always pictured in the TV, the women had to walk out to the back fence and speak over the back fence to spread the gossip. The men had to go to the locker room at work to spread the gossip. We always picture women as the ones that are spreading gossip. But men are just as big a gossip. They really are. But now, gossip is spread at the speed of high-speed internet. You get an email, oh, I can't believe that, and you just dash it off to someone else. It passes around on Facebook and MySpace just in a matter of seconds. Texting. You get in the school systems, and every kid has a cell phone, and did you hear what so-and-so did? And instantly everybody's bending down, and they're texting, and it gets spread throughout the entire school. And once again, once it's sent, it cannot be taken back. But you see, we look in Proverbs chapter 11, and there in verse 9, and we read, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. You know, oftentimes when you receive something in an email that may or may not be right, it takes just a matter of seconds. Literally a matter of seconds to check to see if it's true. And what we don't realize is we are taking part in gossip by passing on things that we don't know for sure are true or not. And we may be destroying lives by passing these things on. The godless man destroys his neighbor solely by his words. The one who is not concerned, that's the one that is destroying these reputations. How many times have you heard the phrase, well, it's not gossip if it's true? Well, I beg to differ with you. Even if it is true, doesn't mean you need to be telling it. Just because something is true, doesn't mean you don't need to keep it to yourself. Solomon, once again in Proverbs chapter 12, there in verse 23 says, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim folly. In other words, the wise man knows when to hold his tongue, when information is best kept to himself, when it's time to shut up and not say anything. We can see further in Proverbs 17, there in verse 9, it says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friendships. The gossip destroys relationships. We need to make sure that we're not among those that are gossiping. I don't think you'll ever regret keeping information to yourself. But when you let that slide out, when you say more than you should have, when you let go of some information that someone has told you in confidence, and you spread that to someone else, even though you may be, I'm just telling them in confidence, well, that's betraying the first person's confidence. That's taking part in gossip. And you can destroy someone's life. Even if it's true. Not only do we need to make sure that something is true before passing it on, we also need to ask ourselves before we say something, Is it necessary that I tell them this? Is this something that they really need to know? Would I say this with the person I'm talking about standing there next to me? A lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, I'd say it to their face. This isn't gossip. I'm not afraid to say it to their face. And oftentimes I want to pick up the phone and call them and say, all right, tell them. Because oftentimes people just say that just so they can spread that gossip and they can ease their conscience a little bit, not realizing that they could be destroying someone's lives. You need to ask, will this hurt someone if they were to hear that I was saying this about them? We need to look at these things, and it's always better just to remain quiet. Don't say anything. Gossip destroys. We don't realize just how much gossip does destroy. But it destroys families. It destroys individuals. It just takes one or two things posted in on a news feed somewhere and a political candidate is destroyed. And it really doesn't take much to destroy someone's life here in just the regular world. There's been a spate of problems in England. A number of young people have committed suicide. Because people were spreading rumors about them on Facebook and Bebo and MySpace and around school, text messaging. And they just couldn't take it anymore. We don't realize just exactly how much damage can be done. The old phrase, loose lips sink ships. Well, it destroys lives. And once again, no one can fault you for being quiet, for keeping something to yourself. We need to think about the things that we say. You'll never regret stopping a scandal that would wreck a reputation. We need to be willing to tell others, hey, I don't think you should be talking about that. I don't think they want that known. I don't think that's public knowledge. I don't think that's something that you have a right to be talking about. You could be saving someone's reputation, saving someone's life. Another thing that you'll never regret is to show love, to show compassion, to show consideration for those that you love. We oftentimes take our loved ones for granted, don't we? We just think, well, that's what they have to do. As far as our parents go, we just look at our moms and our dads and we look at the meal and we go, well, they have to feed me. That's their responsibility. That's just something they have to do. I don't need to tell them thanks for the things that they do. We look at our spouse and we just think, well, these are the things that they're supposed to do. One of my major goals with my children is teaching them to say please and thank you. And some days I think, man, I'm doing a great job with them. And then other days, well, it just seems like it just has just slipped right out of their head. And you know, one of my favorite things was I always try to compliment Anna on the meals that we have, no matter what it is. I always try to say that was a wonderful meal. And I loved it the first day that Austin goes, Mom, that was delicious. I thought, okay, now just do that every day for the rest of your life. Show appreciation for the things that are being done. Think about your life. Look back over your life. And do you find that you have shown, do you show appreciation? As we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there in verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We as Christians should be a thankful people. Anyone who believes in God should be a thankful person. They should be one that shows gratitude for waking up in the morning, for having the ability to get out of bed, for having the ability to go and work, for having a home, for having something to eat. There are so many things that we should be grateful for, and yet we take it for granted. And so think about your life. Do you show appreciation? Do you really show gratitude for the things that are provided for you? Do you show gratitude for the things that have been prepared for you, for the things that have been given to you? Do you truly show appreciation? Have you shown or expressed appreciation to your parents? Now, some of you have reached an age where you can't exactly express your appreciation to your parents, but I hope and pray that you can think back and go, yes, I was thankful to my mother and my father for the things that they prepared for me, for the things that they provided for me. You know, every child at some point in time begins to think that things are their right. And they begin to look for other things and they go, well, I want this and I want that. And, you know, you just want to look at what all you have. You know, I want to earn some money. I want to get paid for the chores that I'm doing. One of the things I try to express to them is there are some chores that they will get paid for because I don't think it's their responsibility. And so if they elect to do it, then yes, they'll receive money for it. But for other things, well, that's what that bed and that roof over their head and those 3 square meals a day that they get, it's called earning your keep. And it's a part of showing appreciation. And so for you younger generation, maybe you should turn to your parents and go, thank you for the meals that you provide me. Thanks for the clothes that I have. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for the comfortable house that I live in. Thank you for all the extra wonderful benefits that you provided me for. Maybe some of us could call up our parents and say, I really appreciate the raising that you gave me. For the love that you had to show discipline, to make me the person that I am, to make me a better person than I could have been. We need to be showing appreciation to our parents. The wise man once again records in Proverbs 1, then verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. When you have been raised properly, when your parents have shown the love and appreciation that have turned you into the person that you are, that you're a well-adjusted, relatively well-adjusted individual, you can look back and you can think, well, I should show appreciation for these things. They are a wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. In Ephesians chapter 6, there in verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. You know, one of the ways I like to look at that, I don't know if this is exactly what Paul was trying to set forth, but you know, by listening to our parents, we have a longer life. You know, what's one of the things are? Don't play in the road. Well, if you listen to your parents, then you're more likely to live a little bit longer if you listen to them and stay out of the road. One of the lessons my father taught me was about electricity. He began with the spark plug. Here, touch this. I don't want to touch that. Just touch it. Let me pull this. I don't want to. Just touch it. No, that hurt. Not bad. But it hurt. He's explaining to me, you know, this over here, that's not something to play with. You know, we teach our children, don't play with the light sockets. Don't put things in there. When we listen to our parents, when we honor them by obeying them, it can increase the length of life that we have here upon this earth. Show appreciation for your parents. Show also appreciation for your spouse. Once again, we tend to take those that are closest to us for granted. We tend to just take the things that they do, whether it be the husband or going off and providing for the family, working and providing a home and cars and meals and all the extras that we think we deserve, cable television and internet and computers and things of that nature. How often do we stop and say, thank you for all the effort you put into these things, for all the time that you spend to provide for this family? When we look at the homemaker, how many times do we say, thank you for the clean house that I get to live in, for the clean sheets I get to go to bed in? How many times do you say, thank you for the meals that you so lovingly prepare? Thank you for helping and raising the children and doing the lion's share of raising the children. How many times do we truly show appreciation? Oh, we oftentimes look at it, well, that's his responsibility. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, there in verse 8, said that one is worse than an infidel if he doesn't provide for his family. That's his job. That's his responsibility. Well, you know, it makes it a much easier responsibility when someone expresses appreciation for it. When they say, thank you. I really appreciate the effort that you're putting forth. And you know, let's turn the tables a little bit. How many times do you say thank you to your kids? How many times do you show appreciation to your children? Now we may look and go, well, there's not many times that I want to show appreciation to my children. I'm always having to fuss at them. They're always letting the room get all messed up and they never come in when they're supposed to and you know they just don't listen to me as much as I would like. Well, just pause for a second. and just think of how much worse your child could be. Just watch a couple of television programs and look and see at the way that the youth of the world is rapidly digressing. Just speedily going down the path that many of our generation and the generations before have gone. And just think, you know, they could be worse. We should look to the positives. It encourages them to do better. When we express appreciation, when they clean their room, well, thank you. When they show appreciation to their mother, show appreciation to them. We need to be expressing our appreciation to our children. Too many times all they hear is, don't do this, don't do that, sit down, be quiet. Never do they hear, well, that's a good job. You did an excellent job with that. We need to be careful in these things. I don't think you'll ever regret taking time to show loved ones consideration. A thank you can go a wonderfully long way and can truly show someone, a heartfelt thank you can show someone that you have a great appreciation and love for them. And finally, you'll never regret feeling reverence for your Maker. This is something that you honestly will never regret. Now, there are exceptions to every rule. You might regret not sending off that angry letter sometime when it might have gotten a better result. You might regret some of these things, but you will never regret feeling reverence for your Maker. The wise man says in Proverbs 1, then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fearing God begins the wisdom that we need, begins the knowledge. Having a healthy respect and fear for God will help you in gaining the understanding that you need from His Word. Having that respect for Him, that fear of Him will inspire you to read His Word, to make sure that you're living in a way that is pleasing in His sight. Solomon continues in chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs, there beginning in verse 5, by telling us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. When you have that proper respect for the Lord, when you have that proper fear, it keeps you from going down the wrong path. And you'll never regret not going down that path. You won't look back in heaven and go, oh, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that. But I guarantee you, when you're sitting in the fires of hell because of the choices that you've made, you will be looking back and wishing that you hadn't done so many things. You can never go wrong by putting your faith in God and in doing His will. The wise man closes out his book of Ecclesiastes there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, speaking of the folly of man's wisdom there, beginning in verse 11. He said, the words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Folks, we need to think about these things. You will never regret fearing God and keeping His commandments. When you are older, you won't look back and regret, well, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have tried these things that my friends tried. You know, I look back and I look back gladly and go, and some of the people I went to high school with and some of the things that they went through, and I'm glad I didn't choose some of the paths that they went down. But there's a number of paths that I did choose that I do regret. But one thing I've never regretted was making my life right with God. The conclusion, fear God and keep His commandments. You're going to have regret at the end of your life. We're human beings. We make mistakes. And so therefore, we're going to look back and we're going to regret certain decisions. But you can make a decision this night that you will not have to look back and regret. And that is the decision to make your life right with God. Whether it be obeying His gospel by confessing your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins and being buried in baptism, having your sins removed, being made as clean as snow. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've
You filled your life once again with numerous regrets. Well, you won't regret turning your life back over to God and repenting of those sins and returning to faithful service. Whatever your situation might be, make your life right with God. Live your life with no regrets, fearing God and keeping His commandments as we stand and as we sing.